نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إخوتي في الله، إخوتي الكرام، last week we dealt with the issue of al-ghiba and the dangers of al-ghiba and the need that we have as Muslims, individuals, families, tribes, neighborhoods, nations. We dealt with how we need to take control of our al-sina, our tongues, as it relates to al-ghiba. And the evil of ghiba, as we explain, is from the many zallat and the many fitin that come as a result of the lisan. But usually the issue of the ghiba and his problems, it falls on the individual as it relates to his dhunub and his ma'asi, as it relates to him just being a sinner. Today we're going to deal with a topic that has to do with a person's aqidah and his lisan. And we are a masjid and a group of people who we say la alf la, no, 1,000 times we say no to the religion of innovation. We say la alf la, no, 1,000 times will we say no as it relates to the religion of the people who are talking based upon their desires and their intellect. We say la wa al-fla as it relates to all of the jama'at in al-Islam that go against the Quran and the Sunnah. And we do not bite our tongues for no one as it relates to that issue. The Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the companions and the salaf of this ummah, that is the only Islam that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to accept yawm al-qiyamah. He is not going to accept, wallahi, any other Islam other than the Islam that is similar to the Islam of those people, as Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى ثَلَاثَ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً قِيلَ وَمَا هِيَ الْوَاحِدَةُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ أَلَّتِي أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي. And my ummah is going to divide themselves up into 73 different groups, 73 different foreign understandings. All of those understandings, all of those groups will be rejected. All of them will be in the hellfire, except one. They say, which one is that, Ya Rasulullah? We need the elaboration and the clarification. Which is the only one that Allah is going to accept? He said, the one that's doing what I'm doing today and my companions. So we say, la, alf, la. I don't care who the personality is. I don't care how many followers they have. لا وألف لا to every deen and every jama'ah that is not upon what Rasulullah and his companions were upon صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ورضي الله عنهم أجمعين. So today's issue is an issue concerning the lisan that the scholars of the past, including the companions, they used to consider it an issue of aqidah, an issue of the correct minhaj, an issue of being upon the right way. And if you want to expose a person or know his reality, then look at where he stands in this issue, along with other issues. And that is the issue of al-jidan. The issue of al-jidan. Argumentation. And its place in al-Islam. Al-jidan wal-khusumat wal-mira. All of those are a family and they are relatives one to each other. Al-khusumat, controversies that come as a result of you having a khasam, you having an opponent. The jidal is argumentation. Al-mira is quarreling with each other and quarreling with people. It is an issue connected to the aqidah in al-Islam. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mira'u fil Qur'an kufrun. He said, to quarrel, to argue with the Qur'an is disbelief. You want to prove something, so you say, Allah said in the Qur'an. And then I come and I use another ayah and say, but Allah said this in the Qur'an. And then you say, Rasulullah said this in the hadith. And then I come with another hadith and I push your hadith away and I say, but Rasulullah said this. Rasulullah said, this kind of mira is kufr, disbelief. So argumentation in the deen is an issue that the scholars of the past used to warn the people about it. Al-Imam Ahmed, in the book that many of you have, he called his book, Usulul Sunnah, the fundamentals of the Sunnah. What do the people of the Sunnah believe and understand? The people of Hadith, what do they believe and understand? What is the Aqidah? He started off his book by saying, As-Sunnatu indana, التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم والترك البدع وكل بدع ضلالة وترك الخصومة وترك المراء والجدال وترك الجلوس مع أصحاب الأهواء. The very first fundamental of the Sunnah with us is following and holding on to what the companions of Rasulullah were upon, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very first thing he mentioned. Later on, he goes on to mention about iman. He goes on to mention about so many other issues of aqidah. The very first thing he mentioned is that we hold on to what the companions of Rasulullah were upon, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and following them, and leaving off all innovations. Celebrating Rasulullah's birthday, all innovations. Celebrating your own birthdays, all innovations in the religion. Shabbat Barat, every innovation is from the Sunnah of the Sunnah. For verily, every innovation is going astray. And to leave off argumentation. And sitting with the people of deviance to argue with them. And to leave off quarreling. Those were the first issues that Imam Ahmed brought in his Usulul Sunnah. The Imam of Ahl Sunnah. So quarreling is a sign of the people of deviance. Another issue as it relates to us needing to deal with and to be reminded and light to be shed upon the issue of al-jidal in the deen is the fact that number one, we have some brothers, wherever you go, who have ghira for al-Islam. They want al-Islam to be spread and prevalent. So you will find that many times they use a lot of their valuable and precious time arguing with people from different groups. And they argue and argue and argue and knowing that this person is not looking for the truth. So it's better to leave him and not to waste your time. That's the argumentation that is not permissible. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرِ As Allah said, remind them if the remembrance benefits them. The benefit should, the zikr should benefit the believer. فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind them.
because the dhikr should benefit the believer. So you gave him the siha, and you guide people, and you try to give them what is the truth. But in the other ayat, he said, remind them if the memorance is going to benefit them. You see, this person is not listening. He's not going to benefit. So you say, lakum dinukum waliya din. Because that type of argumentation is not permissible. So we see that there are a lot of people who have a ghira for Islam. They waste time with arguing with people who they don't want to be guided. They don't want to be guided. Those people, you should say, as-salam. That's it. Rasulullah said in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ana za'in bi baytin fi rabd al-jannah liman taraka al-mira' walau kana muhiqqa. I will be the guarantor. I will be responsible for a person in a house in the highest part of Jannah if he leaves off argumentation, even if the haqq is with him. The haqq is with him, but he leaves off arguing for the sake of his deen. Those people of innovation who wanted to argue about their religion with the imams of the past, the man would come to al-imam Malik, the imam of Darul Hijrah, the imam of al-Medina. The people would ride their camels, their horses, their donkeys. They would walk from Sham, Jordan, all the way to Medina to hook up with al-imam Malik. The man would come to argue with al-imam Malik about the ayah in Surah Taha. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah Ar-Rahman is over his throne. Ar-Rahman is over his throne in a way that befits his majesty. The man will want to argue with al-Imam Malik about that. Al-Imam Malik will put his fingers in his ears and say, as for me, I know my deen. Go and look for someone who's in doubt to argue with. The man will say, I only want to argue and debate about this one ayah. He will say, not even half of an ayah. And he had the ability to twist the man up into a pretzel and to put mustard on him and eat him like that. But the deen is not to argue with people who are just arguing for the sake of argument. So those are the first group of people. The second group of people is the one, the husband or the wife, who whenever the other one has a point of view and he doesn't agree or she doesn't agree, every step of the way is an argument. You defending your position and showing that you're right. She defends her position and she shows that she's right. We don't say that this type of argumentation is kufr or in aqidah, but we say the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also applicable here. I will be the guarantor, the one who is responsible in the highest house in Jannah for the one who leaves off argumentation, even though the haqq is with him. The sister is on the haqq, but her husband always twists the words around and make her at fault. She's the one who came in at 2:30 at night for the last 7 days. And the haqq is with her to complain. But when he comes, he starts to say, you know that hadith about the women who are going to be in the hellfire because they always say, I never see any good from you. And he starts giving all of those hadith and he switches it around. If she just remains quiet and say, Allah is my hasib. Allah is my wakil. I'm not going to argue. I know that the haqq is with me. That hadith is applicable for her and to her. So argumentation in the deen, ikhwan, al-imam al-Zahabi in his book, Kitabul Kabair. Kitab al-Kabair, he put argumentation and he listed argumentation at Jidal wal-Mira in his book because it is a kabira from the Kabair in al-Islam. As it relates to today's topic, it should be understood, ikhwan, that arguing is from the qadr of Allah al-Kawniyah. It is part of the nature of every human being in this masjid to be argumentative. Allah has created us like that. It is from His Qadr al-Kawniyah, the universal Qadr, not the Qadr al-Shar'iyah. He doesn't want that in the deen, the wrong type of argument. He said in the Quran, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. And they will not cease to argue with each other and to differ with each other except the one who Allah has rahmah for. So this ayat establishes people are given to ikhtilaf. They are given to arguing. It's almost impossible for someone to hear something that he doesn't agree with, except that he's going to respond with what he understands. Rasulullah came to visit his daughter Fatima and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma, and they took their beds to go to sleep. He came at a time when they should have been praying Salat al-Tahajjud. He woke them up and they got ready to get out of the bed out of respect for him. He told them, stay in your place. So he began to talk to them. Then he asked Ali, why isn't it that you didn't get up for the Tahajjud prayer? Ali said, if Allah wanted to wake me up, Allah would have woke me up. Rasulullah got up and he started hitting his thighs and he started walking out and he said the ayat of the Quran, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرُ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. And mankind more than anything else is argumentative. If Allah wanted to wake me up, he would have woke me up. Now we really need to take this hadith and this ayah, but we don't have enough time. But I would suffice to say, those people who hate the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they take authentic a hadith to prove that the Khilafah was stolen from Ali and to prove how bad the companions were. When Rasulullah was dying, he told the people, bring me a pen and a paper, I want you to write something. And they started differing amongst themselves. No, it's too heavy for him. He's sick. Don't bring it. And Rasulullah became upset. And he told them all, get out. They used that ayah to say, you see how his companions were? And you have to know how to respond. And there are a number of a hadith like that. But they never tell us about the hadith that we just mentioned about Ali. And we don't need to be told about the hadith of Ali because we know how to accept it. That Ali is in Jannah and he's from the best of the creation. And we don't waste time saying, look how bad he is. So we don't need to be explained that hadith, just like we don't need to be explained those other hadith when the companions of Rasulullah told them, take your ihram off, when he decided that they weren't going to make the hajj after the sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah. He agreed with the kuffar, they're not going to make the hajj this year. He went to the companions and said, take your ihram off. They said, wallahi, we're not going to take the ihram off. We want to deal with those people. Those people say, you see those companions? You see how they didn't listen to Rasulullah? No, they didn't listen to Rasulullah right then and there because they wanted to show him that, Ya Rasulullah, even though we don't have our weapons, we're ready to go to Mecca to deal with them people regardless of our condition of weakness, being without weapons, because we believe in Allah and we believe in you. So we have to take those ahadith of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and take them in the proper light and the proper understanding. The point is, ikhwan, as it relates to al-jidal, argumentation, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ayat, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرُ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Mankind, more than anything else, is extremely argumentative. So arguing is part of our nature. The way that Allah has created us, we are prone and apt to argue. But we have to stay away from arguing in the deen when it's not permissible. And we have to stay away from arguing for the sake of argument. And we are going to deal with the types of arguments, inshallah ta'ala, that are not permissible. Before getting into the subject matter, another thing that needs to be mentioned as well. In the beginning of Al-Islam, ikhwan, the people used to take from the kitab and the sunnah. And that was enough for them. And then when the a'ajim, people like us, when the non-Arabs started to enter into the religion of Al-Islam from Persia and all over the place, they started to bring with them their luggage. And they started to bring practices from their culture and they introduced those practices into the religion of Al-Islam. It's like the people who live close to India. Someone wants to get married, and when he gets married, the family of the boy tells the family of the girl, you have to give us a dowry. It's not in our deen. Where does that come from? That comes from us mixing with the Hindus. There's so many examples like that. We bring into our religion the culture of where we come from. So what the A'ajim did were, they started to translate the books of Greece, the Greeks, the philosophers like Aristotle and those other people like that. They started to translate their books. And then when those books were translated, the Muslims started taking those ways of argumentation in the deen. So they would have long debates about what came first, the chicken or the egg. Which one was put here first, the chicken or the egg? The people said the chicken, they'll give all of their adilla. The people said the egg, they'll give all of their adilla, and then they will fight each other over which one came first. That's not the type of argumentation that's permissible in the deen. That's the argumentation and the philosophy that is rejected in Islam. There's no philosophy in the religion. If one of you wants to go to study Arabic in Egypt, the oldest university in the dunya, Islamic or other than that, is the University of Al-Azhar. Jamiatul Azhar. You go to Al-Azhar, some universities in Pakistan, when they teach the subject of Al-Aqidah, they call it Falasifa Islamiya. Islamic philosophy. There's no such thing as Islamic philosophy. It's Aqidatul Islamiya. But we always want to follow those kuffar. So we have Islamic soap operas. Instead of it being kuffar rap, we have Islamic rap. They act the same way, they dress the same way. You look at Islam Channel, this is Islamic rap. Clean, it's clean. No, there's Islam, Aqidah, Islam, story, Islam, Islam. And then there's another philosophy. There's no philosophy in Al-Islam. As it relates to the Jadal, there are two types of Jidal in Al-Islam, two types of argumentation. One is accepted and one is rejected. The first type is the Jidal, that is the Haq. Arguing because of the truth and with the truth. The Jidal that is permissible. The one that Allah encouraged and He commanded and He ordered. And the one that you use to argue for Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the people and Allah told him as He told us, أَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Allah told Rasulullah, call to the way of your Lord with hikmah and with the good preaching and argue with them in the way that is best. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Argue, jidal, argue with them in a way that is best. In another ayah He told us concerning the Ahlul Kitab, وَجَادِلُ الْأَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Argue with the people of the book with what is best. Argue with them in the way that is best. Don't curse Isa ibn Maryam. Don't curse them so that they'll turn around and curse Allah. Argue Allah ordered with a way that is best. In the authentic hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he said that Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, jahidu al-mushrikeen بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Make jihad against the mushrikeen. Fight them. Make jihad against them. With your money. Give money and prepare mujahid. Give money and prepare someone who's going to make jihad against them. Or with your own self, go out and make jihad. Or with your tongue. Make jihad against them with your tongue. By explaining the truth. Part of explaining the truth could be and is Al-Jidal. Arguing with them in a way that is best. Concerning this Jidal, Ikhwan, that is the best. The first creation that started this type of Jidal were the Malaika of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This Jidal, what is the goal and the objective behind it? It is to make the truth apparent. That's the goal. That's the hikmah of this type of argument. And the Malaika were the first to start this type of Jidal. Before Adam, before Iblis, Allah Ta'ala told the Malaika, I'm going to create in the earth a Khalifa. He told them something. They want to know what's the hikmah behind that, So they started asking questions. Not questions of jidal, that's haram. Jidal, that we have a problem with that. But they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يَفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Are you going to place in the earth, you're going to make a khalifa, man. You're going to place in the earth someone who's going to make mischief in the earth. It's going to sell crack, smoke crack, make zina. He's going to look at what's haram. He's going to be bad to his mother and his father. He's going to steal money. He's not going to pray. He's not going to fast. He's not going to wear hijab. Are you going to place therein one who's going to do all of this mischief in the earth and shed blood, kill people unjustly just for their money in Iraq? They get killed because these people only want their riches and their money. Just kill them like that and then lie and call them the insurgents. Are you going to put in the earth people like that, homosexuals? While we, the Malaika, we glorify your name and we praise you. Allah said in answering them, I know what you don't know. From them are going to be people who are going to make hajj, and they're going to go to Arafah, and they're going to spend their money, and they're going to make jihad with all of the millions of people who come to that one place in the desert, in the heat, for me, for my ibadah, my worship. So they ask that question only for the knowledge to be made prevalent to them. That's the jidal that is permissible. Obviously, the other jidal that is haram, and the second type of jidal, is the jidal al-batil. The jidal that people have where they argue for the sake of argument. They argue for the sake of their madhhab. This is my madhhab, and I don't care what I hear. By way of hadith, I'm going to find a way to push away what you say. Even if you told me a clear hadith, a clear ayah, I'm going to push it away by making believe that I'm blind, by making believe I can't hear, by making believe that I have no intellect. You bring a clear dalil. They say, my imam must have known that. Where do you get that from? Where's the dalil? Your imam must have known that. If he knew it, he wouldn't have rejected it. That's our husna dhan with him. So it is the jidal of al-batil. The jidal that Allah said and described the kuffar with it, وَجَادَلُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُطْهِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. And they argue with what is batil to overcome and defeat the truth. بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَسِمُونَ. They are a group of people who are argumentative. Allah described them in another ayah. This was the jidal of Iblis. That's the jidal of Iblis. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِن تِينٍ. Why should I make sajda to him when you created me from fire and you created him from dirt, from mud? It is not permissible, ikhwan, to make sajda to anyone other than Allah. But if Allah ordered you to make sajda to someone else, even if it was a monkey, now that sajda becomes ibadah because Allah told you. It is not permissible for you to kill someone. Killing someone is a kabira from the kabair. But if Allah told you to kill someone and to shed his blood, then it is ibadah. Even if he happens to be your son, like in the case of Ibrahim. Can't kill your relative, but if Allah ordered you to kill your son, it's ibadah now. Slaughter your son. You can't slaughter for other than Allah. You are cursed if you slaughter for other than Allah. But if Rasulullah came and told you, Allah said, slaughter your son. Isa ibn Maryam told one of us that. We have to slaughter our son because Allah told us, and it's ibadah now. So when Allah ordered Iblis, who was, as some of the scholars said, an abid, he used to be with the Malaika because of his the worship that he had, the level of worship. So he was with the Malaika as a ni'mah from Allah. Allah ordered them, make sajda to Adam. Iblis said, why? Why? You created me from fire. You created him from teen. That is the jidal. That is batil. That's not permissible. So those are the two types of jidal as it relates to the deen of al-Islam. What is mahmud and what is mazmoon? As for the legislation of jidal, we already proved it is from the deen. Rasulullah, he used to argue with Ahlul Kitab. They will come to him and he will argue with the Nasara, telling them that Isa to Allah is like Adam. Allah created Adam from dirt and said, be him he was. He used to argue with him. Not only that, Rasulullah used to have a poet. Who knows the name of the poet of Rasulullah? Who names? Who knows? Put your hand up if you know the name of the poet of Rasulullah. Can you put your hands up, Ikhwan? Let me see your hands. Rasulullah had a sha'ir who was mashhur. He was a poet. He was the one who reached the epitome of Arabic language from the campaign. Ahi. Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu was the poet of Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell Hassan, get on my minbar. He would make a minbar for him. He would tell him, get on the minbar, not in the masjid, another minbar. Get on the minbar and go and make poetry and fight those kuffar. And the Ruh al-Qudus is with you. Jibril will be with you. So Hassan would start making poetry about the Tawheed of al-Islam. He would start making poetry about the chivalry of the Muslims and their abilities in war and their courage and so forth and so on. And then the Kufar would say what they had to say. And then Hassan would say back to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he allowed his companions to also make this type of jidal. So it's legislated in the religion. It's legislated to make that jidal in this case in order to show the power of al-Islam. Because they weren't going to become Muslims as a result of the poetry of Hassan. They weren't going to become Muslims as a result of his poetry. But he showed them, we're better than you. The end is for Islam and the Muslims. This is not for you people. And the poetry that he said was always the poetry of the truth. Not like the shu'ara. There's a surah in the Quran called Ash-Shu'ara, the poet. In that surah, Allah deals with the poets of that time who used to go overboard when they used to say their poetry. They would have mubalagha and they would say things that weren't true. So, arguing is legislated in the religion of al-Islam. As it relates to the Anbiya before us, the Prophet said in an authentic hadith, been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, "Ihtajja Adamu wa Musa." فَقَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى أَنْتَ آدَمَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَتْكَ خَتِيئَتُكَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ لَهُ آدَمُ وَأَنْتَ مُوسَى الَّذِي اصْطَفَاكَ اللَّهُ بِرِسَالَاتِهِ وَبِكَلَامِهِ تُلُومَنِي على أمر قدر علي قبل أن أخلق قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهج آدم موسى رسول الله said Adam and Musa had a debate. Adam and Musa had an argument. Musa said to Adam, you are Adam, the one who your sin caused you to get expelled from the Jannah. Adam said back to Musa, and you're Musa, the one who Allah divinely chose for his message, and the one who Allah spoke to. You blame me for something that was decreed on me before I was even created? Rasulullah said, so Adam defeated Musa in the debate. So the Anbiya before us, the first Nabi, Adam, had a debate with another Nabi. A scholar had a debate with another scholar, but with Dalil. And when the proof was presented, you didn't find them fighting and it going out of bounds. So it goes to show, jidal, in order to do the haq and bring out the haq, is permissible. The people of Noah, the first Rasul sent to the people is Noah. The first Nabi is Adam. The first Rasul sent to the people was Noah. Noah's people said, Ya Noah, لقد جادلتنا وأكثرت جدالنا فأتي Bima ta'iduna in kunta min as-sadiqin. Ya Noah, Noah, you have argued with us, and you argued with us abundantly, and we're tired of it. So bring us what you're promising us if you're really speaking the truth. After that, the flood came. So the point is, the people said to Noah, you argued with us. Jadaltana. You made jidal. You made a lot of jidal. What's the jidal of Noah? Calling them during the night and the day to la ilaha illallah. Telling them, there's a flood that's going to come, and it's going to wipe you people out. You better get with the program. 950 years, calling them to the same thing. You better get yourself together and make a tawheed. And he was building the boat in the middle of the street. And while he's building the magnificent boat, the people were sick. They were laughing at him and say, he's a madman. It's crazy. He's building a big boat in the middle of the street. So he made Zidane. Ibrahim, Allah mentioned in the Quran, and the majority of the scholars say that this was Nimrod, Allahu Alam, who was the one that he was arguing with. Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim fi rabbihi an ataahu Allahu mulk? Did you not see, do you not know about the situation of the one who argued with Ibrahim about the kingdom that Allah gave him? Ibrahim said, Allah gives life and death. That man said, Ana uhi wa umi. I give life and death. So that king brought an innocent man out. He killed him. Brought another man out and said, you go ahead, go about your business. He said, I give life and I give death. When he tricked the people with that, Ibrahim said, Inna Allah ya'ti bi shamsi min al-mashriq, fa'ti biha min al-maghrib. So Ibrahim said, well, Allah brings the sun from the east. You bring it from the west. He couldn't do that. So Allah said, فَبُوهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. So the one disbelief was destroyed in his argument. So all of those ayat and ahadith and other than that show the permissibility of arguing for the haq, to bring the truth out, to make the battle down, to make innovation down. So the type of jidal that's not permissible, and there are a number of them. We'll mention two or three today. And we'll close out today's darus with these types of jidal that we fall into that are not permissible. The first type of jidal that is not permissible is to argue when you don't have any knowledge about what you're talking about. To argue without knowledge. There's an authentic hadith, Ikhwani. Salman al-Farisi came amongst the companions and he sat down. After everyone was present, Rasulullah looked at Salman al-Farisi and he said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lo kana al-iman inda thuraya, lanawanahu rajulu min ha'ula'i. He said, if faith, in another ayah, if knowledge, in another hadith, another narration, if the deen, if faith or knowledge or the deen was to be found with the star of Pegasus, a thuraya, if iman was up there, someone from this man's people would have taken it. Someone from these Persians would have grabbed knowledge. Someone from these Persians would have grabbed the deen. So Allah, Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put up the Persians. If you're from Iran or from that area, Samarkand, if you're from that area, this hadith talks about the virtues of Persians. Not in a way that you say you're better than him or you're better than him. But nonetheless, it talks good about the Persians, Salman al-Farisi. The one who likes Abu Hanifa, our Imam, an Imam of the Sunnah, an Imam of al-Islam, who's a Hujjah. We don't say he's the Imam al-A'zam, but we say he is an Imam Azim. Someone who loves Abu Hanifa, he can use this hadith as a delil for the virtues of Abu Hanifa. If there was anyone from Persia who deserves to have this hadith applicable to him, Abu Hanifa. But the one who is muta'assib to the Hanafi madhab, he says, Wallahi, may my mother and father be destroyed. This hadith is talking about Abu Hanifa. Rasulullah was talking about Abu Hanifa in this hadith. Ya akhi, this is not acceptable for you to say that. That's arguing without any knowledge. Where's the delil Rasulullah min Abu Hanifa with that hadith? We agree. If anyone deserves it, it's Abu Hanifa. But there are people who are greater than Abu Hanifa from Persia, like Ikrimah the Mola, of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the one who Abdullah ibn Abbas taught him, used to tie his foot up with a chain to teach him the tafsir of the Quran. A pro for you fathers, buy a big ball and chain, bring your kids to the masjid, tie them up to learn the Quran. Ikrimah said, Abdullah ibn Abbas used to tie my foot up with a chain. And then Ikrimah became one of the ulama of the Quran. He's better than Abu Hanifa. Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri is from that area. He's greater and bigger than Abu Hanifa. So for the person to say it's definitely him, now just to show we're not picking on the Hanafis, that's just an example. We want to shed the mustard around. We look at Al-Imam al-Shafi. There are a number of ahadith talks about the virtues of Quraysh. A number of ahadith. لا يزال هذا الأمر في قريش ما بقي إثنان. He said if there are two people, one non-Qurayshi and one Qurayshi, the Qurayshi is better. He should be the one who's the leader. He should be the one who's the Khalifa. He should be the one who leads the Salah. That's of course if he has deen. That's the virtues of Quraysh. إن الله استفى من ولد إسماعيل كنانة واستفى من كنانة بني هاشم واستفى من بني هاشم قريش واستفاني من قريش. From the children of Ismail, Allah chose Kanana. Ismail had a number of kids. The best one was Kinana. And from Kinana's tribe, his children, the best one was Bani Hashim. From Quraysh. And the Quraysh was the best one from Bani Hashim. Or Bani Hashim was the best from Quraysh. And the best person from Quraysh is Rasulullah. So Quraysh have a special position. And Imam Abu Hanifa was of the opinion, Ikhwan, that a woman who is Qurayshi is better than an Ajami man. You Ajam, I'm Ajam. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, a woman who's Qurayshi is better than all of us. From these Adilla. So the Shafi'i people, they know that Al-Imam Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, he was Qurayshi. He's from the line of Quraysh. So they say, those ahadith that speak about Quraysh, Wallahi, Rasulullah was talking about Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. La yaakhi. He was talking about anyone, Al-Imam al-Shafi can be one of those people. Yes, we agree with that. But for you to say it was definitely him, you're talking about the religion without any knowledge. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ بِكَ عِلْمٍ. Don't talk about what you have no knowledge about. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطْنُ الْإِثْمِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَغِيِ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah has made it haram for you to do this and this and this and this, and that you say about Allah's religion what you have no knowledge about. So we shouldn't argue when we don't have knowledge. Even if you're trying to argue for the sunnah and for the haq, if you don't have knowledge, remain silent. If you don't know what you're talking about, if you can't prove it, then remain silent. That is the jidal that is not permissible in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the jidal of Ahlul Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, ha antum ha'ula'i hajjajtum fima lakum bihi ilm falima tuhajjuna bima laysa lakum bihi ilm. You people are the people who argue about what you have knowledge about. Why do you argue about what you have no knowledge about? They used to argue about what they had knowledge about, and they went astray. Now why are you arguing about what you don't have any knowledge about? When Muhammad comes, you start arguing with the people about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and you don't have any knowledge about these affairs that he's bringing. And they used to ask Rasulullah about something that he didn't know. He would say, I don't know, Allah knows best. Tell us about the ruh, the spirit, Allahu A'lam. Tell us, when is the sa'ah, Allahu A'lam. When is the hour? Tell us about the spirit of the person, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. I am not from those people who do what I wasn't commanded to do. I'm not commanded to tell you the answer to something that I don't know. I'm not from those people. So that is one of the worst types of
argumentation in the deen.
The second type, ikhwan, is the type that will send you astray, make you a mulhid, make you a kafir. Especially if you're a person who gives yourself to drinking khamr or doing drugs. Drinking khamr or doing drugs. Drinking khamr, using crack, using marijuana, drinking, all of these are from the kaba'ir in al-Islam. They're from the kaba'ir. And al-Islam does not allow them. They are only extenuating circumstances, life and death situations, where the haram becomes halal. But it's something that you have to ask the scholars of al-Islam. This is this specific thing going on. Can a person do this? Can a person do that? Don't make ijtihad on your own and come up with an answer. This argumentation will make you a non-Muslim. And it is the argumentation when you argue about ma tuwiya ilmuhu, the thing in which is knowledge has been folded up. The knowledge of that thing has been folded up. You haven't been given an insight into the reality of it. Allah, He has told us about some things, and He has kept away from us many things, most things. The most knowledgeable one from amongst us, who Allah has given him knowledge to the point that he's Shaykhul Islam, or he's a Hafiz, or he's a Amirul Mu'mineen al Hadith. Allah gave him something and kept away from him most things. Most things about one issue, like the Asma of Allah, the Kalam of Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذُو عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone who has been given knowledge is someone who has more knowledge. And someone who has more and more and more and more. Until finally it gets to the Malaika. Iblis has a lot of knowledge. Iblis has been on the scene with the Malaika in Jannah. Iblis is walking around with every single human being. Whatever the scholar is, whoever the Nabi is, whoever the Rasul is, whoever the Rajul Saleh is, Iblis was there. When he was born and while he grew up, when he taught, he heard so much. Jibril has a lot of knowledge. And despite that, ikhwan, together, collectively, all of their knowledge in comparison to Allah, as Khidr told Musa, it doesn't equal. When the bird took the water in his beak on the boat. He went in the water and put the water in his beak. Khidr told Musa, our knowledge combined, compared to Allah's knowledge, is less than the water that bird holds in his beak. So to ask about things that Allah hasn't given us knowledge about, and to argue about those issues, is from what is not permissible. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, يَأْتِي أَهَدُكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَيَقُولُ مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَمَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا وَكَذَا حَتَّى يَقُولُ مَنْ خَلَقَ رَبَّكَ. One of you will sit reclining, relaxing, maxing and relaxing. Shaytan will come to one of you and he'll say to you, who created this and who created that? And who created this and who created that? Until finally he'll continue to say that to you and make witswas, until finally he'll ask you, and who created Allah? The authentic hadith described the creation before Allah put all of this into effect, and he said, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ شَيْءٍ وَكَانَ أَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Allah was there, and nothing else was there with him, and his throne was over the water. Now someone starts to sit and say, okay, if nothing was there, no, it had to be something because nothing is, and he starts to think like that, and argue and debate like that. And before you know it, he'll become a mulhid. He told us, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدْرُ فَمْسِكُ. If the qadr, divine decree, if it's mentioned, be quiet. Don't talk about it. If the divine decree, Allah knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. He knows that you're going to die on Islam and he's going to die on kufr. He knows. And you have a free will. How can I have a free will if Allah knew? Allah must be forcing me to do it anyway. And you start talking about that, and then you go astray. So Abdullah ibn Abbas told us, and he told you about the Qadr. When they asked him about the Qadr, he said, it is a dark street. Don't go down that street. Would you go down the dark street in the section where the non-Muslims live? And it's quite far. Maybe here I'll go down the street in this neighborhood. Down this street over here, there's an alley up there. Takes you to the main street. I'll go down that street. But I'm not going to go down the dark street on this side of town. Because I don't know it. The Qadr is a dark street. So don't debate about those issues. And don't argue about those issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a hand. Allah has two fingers. He said in the authentic hadith, قُلُوبُ الْإِبَادِ بَيْنَ أُسْبِئَيَ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفِ يَشَاءُ. The hearts of the servants are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman. He changes the hearts of the people how he wants to change them. He'll make you a shakir. He'll make you a kafir. He'll make you an abid. He'll make you a zahid. He'll make you a munafiq. He'll make you whatever he wants to make you. Today you're a kafir. Tomorrow you're a Muslim. You go to bed as a Muslim. You wake up as a kafir. Between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman. Allah, Rasul, established that. Now, we're going to come and say, do his hands have fingernails? Does he clip the fingernails? Do they have these parts like this? Is the middle finger longer than the other finger and this and that? That's what we don't have knowledge about, and that's what's not permissible to discuss and to debate. We believe it, and that's it. So that's the second type of jidal that is not permissible in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to stop here 5 minutes to eight, inshallah. We'll mention the other types of jidal next week, as well as what the a'imma of the sunnah said concerning the danger of the jidal. And I would like to invite you brothers and to encourage you brothers to be sure to purchase those books from the House of Knowledge there in Bradford. The brothers should bring these books or make them available next week, inshallah. Like the fundamentals of the sunnah of al-Imam Ahmed. Like Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Imam al-Barbahari. Those books of the sunnah like that, they are books that you should be reading so that you'll know the correct aqid and the correct methodology as it relates to being a Muslim. So al-jidal is a kabira from the kabair that need to be avoided. There's the jidal of the haq and the jidal of the batin. So if you brothers have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, concerning the kalimat, the words that we say in Arabic, sometimes I hope that you understand the context of the word and you can figure out what's being said. If not, write the word down and ask me, and then I'll tell you what the word is. We have a problem sometimes forgetting that we have some brand spanking new Muslims here who may not know the word at all. So write the word down if you can, and I'll tell you what the word is, inshallah, at the end of the darus. And I'll try my best not to use just the Arabic words without the translation. So, do you brothers have any questions concerning the jidal? The issue of al-jidal. Naam, akhi. Abul Hassan. Concerning the question of the brother, there are some people who believe that Iblis is from the fallen angels, that he was from the angels. So how do we understand that? First of all, this is the type of argument that we can understand why people say that. So we don't look at those people cross-eyed, and we don't look at those people as being enemies to Islam, nor do we look at them as being troublemakers. Because Allah mentioned in the Quran, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ تِسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا بِإِبْلِيسِ. And remember when your Lord said to the Malaika, make sajda to Adam, and they all made sajda except Iblis. So Allah did say in that ayah, when he told the Malaika, make sajda, and they all made sajda except Iblis. So it could be understood, Iblis was an angel. And there are some scholars, even though they are the minority, who are of the opinion that Iblis was from the Malaika based on this ayah and the ones that are similar to it. But in essence, and simply put, you have to take the Quran, and the Quran explains the Quran, and the Sunnah explains the Quran, and the Arabic language explains the Quran, and the companions of Rasulullah explain the Quran. It's not enough to take one ayat and to say, this is what the ayat is saying. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. I'm not praying anymore because Allah sent woe unto those who pray. You can't just take that ayah by itself. So with the issue of Iblis, Allah mentioned in another ayah, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. We told the Malaika, make sajda to Iblis. We told the Malaika, make sajda to Adam. They all made sajda except Iblis. He became a fasiq and he was from the jinn. He became a fasiq and he was from the jinn. Fasiq means the one who goes out of the ta'ah of Allah. That's a fasiq. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He became a fasiq. He disobeyed. And he was from the jinn. So that ayah said he was from the jinn. The authentic sunnah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُرِكَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورِ وَخُرِكَتُ الْجَانِ مِنْ نَارٍ مَصْفُوهِ وَخُرِكَ آدَمٍ مَا وُسِفَ لَكُمْ. The malaika were created from light. And the angel, the jinn were created from a smokeless fire. And Adam was created from what has been described to you, from turab, from the dirt. So we understand why they say that, but that position is a weak position. The fallen angel concept is rejected in al-Islam. In addition, Ikhwan, Iblis will not be the gatekeeper of the hellfire with a pitchfork and a long tail sticking people through the door and throwing them in the fire like we saw in Tom and Jerry. They teach you that from a little kid, Tom and Jerry. Every little cartoon, that's how they show us Shaitan. Every movie, that's how they show Shaitan. And now they get even newer, where they get their good actors, their famous actors, Al Pacino, he becomes Shaitan now. No, Shaitan is not like that. He's another creation. Wallahu a'lam. Now, any more questions? Ikhwati fillah. Naam akhi, Khurshid. The last question, inshallah. That's an excellent question by Brother Khurshid. There are certain groups who are given to argumentation. Their deen is jidal. For the most part, Ikhwan, every group, Salafi, Khalafi, Ikhwani, every group, have those people who like to argue. People who like to flex their muscles. They like to argue. But there are certain groups, their minhaj is argumentation, like Hizb ut-Tahrir. Hizb ut-Tahrir is a group that argues. A group that is built upon arguing and argumentation. So the scholars of the past, the ulama of Islam, they used to warn the people of this type of argumentation. Every time a man comes with an argument stronger than the next man, you embrace his argumentation and you keep putting on a new fold. Every time you see me, today I have a white fold, because the argumentation of the white fold man was the strongest. Tomorrow I got a pink fold because his was the strongest. The next day I got a blue fold and then a green fold and then I'm back to the white fold again. You'll be talawin, mutalawin. Every time someone comes with a strong argument, you leave yours and put on something else because some people have been given the ability to argue. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa had that ability. If he wanted to make you think that the wood was a stone and the stone was wood, he had the ability to do that. In a good way, the scholars used to say that about him. Argumentation. Stay away from the people of argumentation. With the issue of the brothers from Hizb ut-Tahrir, in particular, Ikhwati Fillah, we went to Sheffield recently. We gave a lecture there about brotherhood. And it was a nice lecture. The brothers and the sisters, nice atmosphere. After it was over, that area is one of the strongholds of this group of argumentation. So one of the brothers who was Arab came, and he started giving me another lecture. So I told him at the end, right away, I know where you're coming from, and I know who you follow. It's not my deen to argue with you back and forth about these issues. So I asked him, just very simply, and that's what I ask you, it's really simple. I'm going to ask three questions, and in these three questions will be the haq as it relates to your reality. So I ask him three questions. Just answer the question quickly. Don't go into a lecture. Answer the question quickly. Number one, What is the position of Al-Islam in the religion? What's the position of Salat in Al-Islam? It's important. It's a pillar. Nah, that's good. What is the position of Al-Hajj that we're about to do, inshallah, in Al-Islam? It's important. It's a pillar. Third and last question. Keep it brief and short, like the first two. What is your opinion concerning Al-Islam as it relates to the good scholars, the good ulama of this ummah? He said, well, you know, finding scholars is not easy. You don't really know where they are. I say, see, the first two, you answer very quickly. Now you get ready, give me a lecture. I said, the good scholar in Al-Islam, the good scholar in the religion, what does Islam say about him? He said, the good scholar is good, important. I said, okay. Concerning the good scholar, just tell me one scholar, just one good scholar, one, who supports that, the story, the solution to all of the issues, the importance that people put on the Khilafah, just one scholar who said that, just one. And he couldn't name one scholar, not one scholar, not one scholar who Al-Islam, Allah told us to be connected to the ulama in Al-Islam, to refer back to the ulama in Al-Islam. The scholars will always be apparent. They will never be the people on ignorance, and there's a scholar in the cave in the frontiers of Pakistan or Afghanistan. That's the only place where he is, in a cave. No one knows. In order to get to him, you have to go through a lot of nah. Never. They're going to be apparent, as Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. La tazalu ta'ifatu min ummati ala al-haq. There will not cease to be a group of people on my religion apparent. So when you can't name a single scholar that supports this issue or that issue or this issue or that issue, then it's a clear proof that you should leave it alone. Because there's no way in the world you're going to come and tell someone and use me as a dalil that we have to make jihad everywhere. We have to kill people. That we have to, the Khilafah. Don't use me as a dalil for that. If you use me or people similar to me, then that's a clear proof. You're not on the right way. You have to be able to name a scholar who took that position. And where's that scholar? Is he in Saudi Arabia? I'm not saying that. It could be in Pakistan, India. It could be in Jordan. It could be in Africa. But he has to be a scholar. If you can't find a scholar, Ikhwan, concerning what you understand about this religion, especially in the three big issues. The issues of spilling blood, the issue of people's money, and the issue of the private part, making them haram and halal. Muta'a marriage is okay. If you can't find a scholar to support those crazy ideas people have, then no, something is wrong with what you're saying. Something is wrong with what you're saying. There has to be some scholar who's going to say, yes, the way of Khilaf is the best way. Scholar, not a famous personality, no, a scholar. So with that, Ikhwati Fillah, we bring today's dars to an end. Upstairs, we have some ta'am for you, so we invite you not to waste time downstairs, Ikhwan, socializing, but to get upstairs, inshallah, and to eat, because last week, the delay caused the people not to know what was going on. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.